Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord. This morning we jump into the Word, Father God, but we don't do it without you. We need your anointing upon this Word, Father. May the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, infill us, Lord, with what you want to say to us, Father. Through the power of your anointing, get it in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 26. We're going to read a fairly lengthy portion of Scripture out of it, but I think it's important that we read this kind of story in its entirety. How many of you would like to end better than you began? And that's me. I want to kind of, like these long distance runners, you know, they always save something right for the very end of the race. Are you all there with me? And right at the end of the race, they have something they call a kick, and they just like put it in another gear. You know, they're tired, their body's aching, you know, they've got just a fatigue that's setting in. But great long distance runners, what they do is they have something left for the end of the race. Amen? They don't just come up to the finish line all wore out. They have something in reserve. This morning, that's kind of be what we're going to be talking about, is that I want to finish better than I began. I want to finish better than I am right now. Amen. Amen. But in order to get where we're going to go, I got to talk a little bit about well drilling. Now, there's a place in New Mexico called the Caprock. It's on the eastern side of the state, and a whole lot of huge wells were drilled early on in the beginning of the century, of last century actually, and they watered, you know, millions of acres out there because they hit these unbelievable wells called artesian wells. They'd drill down in the ground and didn't even need a pump. The water just squirted out like stepping on a tube of toothpaste. It was a little different than toothpaste because it was clear and, anyway, you guys got it. But I've learned a couple of things about wells and studying them. First of all, the deeper the well, the more it's going to cost you to drill it. The deeper the well, the cooler the water that comes out of it. The deeper the well, the greater the abundance. And the deeper the well, usually the higher the quality of water that comes out of it. So we're going to talk about this story in the Word of God that I believe is very significant about digging wells. This whole beginning of chapter 26 leads up to where Jacob was digging wells all over the desert land. Now, his father Abraham, you guys know his father Abraham. Well, maybe you don't know him, but you know of him. If you know him, you're pretty old. But anyway, Abraham had to dig some wells. In Genesis 26, we find out that his son Isaac had to dig some wells as well. Today, I believe that there's a lot that you and I can learn about this message, and this is called opening the wells of God. There's many times throughout the Word of God that we learn that water has a very important significance, okay? First of all, water is life, amen? If we don't have water, we're in heap big trouble. Some of y'all are out there saying, well, if I got Dr. Pepper, I'm okay. Okay, we'll just let that one pass. But anyway, water is life. Whenever Jesus was here on this planet, he offered a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, he offered her this water that he told her. He said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never have to come to this well and draw water out of it. She was all excited about this because he was speaking of a spiritual water. She thought he was speaking of a natural water, if you would. There was a place in the Word where Jesus stood up and he told us as believers that we could have what he called rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. So again, this isn't a natural water coming out of us, but this is a spiritual water flowing out of us. So the significance of water is very great. So now let's read our text this morning. This is Genesis chapter 26, and let's just begin reading in verse number 1. And again, I'm going to warn you, this is going to be lengthy. It says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And they had filled them in with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac, also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug a well. And Abimelech came to him from Gerar with that guy and another friend, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you and since we have done nothing to you, but God has sent you away in peace. But good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast. They ate and they drank. They arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about a well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Sorry, I messed you up there because I skipped a few verses. But here's a couple of things we need to know. The background of this story is kind of this. During a famine, Isaac finds himself in the city of Gerar. It's a land of the Philistines. This was obviously, you know, through the reading of the Old Testament that this was the enemy of the Israelites. So during the time of King Abimelech, here Isaac finds himself living in one of his cities. During his time in this land, the Lord prospered Isaac. I mean, he prospered him. He prospered him. He prospered him. Guy had so much, it was just unbelievable. And finally, the king Abimelech looks at him and he says, "Man, listen, you've got so much. You've become greater than we are." And so he basically just says, "Hey, call up a few U-Haul trucks and get down the road because we're tired of you being here." So he moved. And so now one of the things that you have to understand is it's a little bit different from North Carolina. The desert in the Middle East has no water running anywhere in it. Are y'all there with me? And so they couldn't just move from one creek to the next creek. If they were going to move and they were going to take all their herds and all of their servants and everything, one of the things that was absolutely vital to them is they had to find water. And so this story tells us about four wells. And so this morning, I want to take just a minute and I want to tell you how these four wells apply to our lives. First of all, you can't live off of the last generation's wells. Man, the Assemblies of God started in Pentecostal fire down in Hot Springs, Arkansas, a little over 100 years ago. And I'm telling you, the Assemblies of God started on the right foot. They sent out missionaries worldwide. It was amazing growth spurt that the Assemblies of God had took place. Literally, the Assemblies of God is over 100 million people worldwide today. Now think about that, worldwide. But here in the United States of America, one of the sad things that I want to report to you is 75% of the churches in the United States of America are either in decline or they are static. Does that make sense? Here in the state of North Carolina, 75% of churches in North Carolina are either in decline or they're static. But now I want to talk a little bit about Assembly of God churches. Is that okay? Assembly of God churches in 2019, right here in the good old US of A, 75% of them are either in decline or they're static. Right here in North Carolina, 75% of the Assembly of God churches in the District of North Carolina are either in decline or they're static. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? We can't live off of the last generation's wells. We got to go find that water ourselves. Amen? See, in the case of Isaac and Abraham, Abraham's wells were all filled in. The last generation's wells, they might have been good for them, but many times that generation's wells, our water is either dried up or they're filled in. You see, we can't live off the testimonies of days gone by. We got to have testimonies right now, right here today. And if we're going to have testimonies, somebody's going to find some water. Amen? Can't live off last generation's wells. Secondly, the enemy loves to fill your well up. The enemy loves to fill your well up. Whenever I was a kid, we lived next door to a neighbor, and he had this pipe out in the middle of his ground, and it was about that big around. And whenever I was a kid, I just thought it was an awesome thing to drop rocks down that thing. And one day, he decided he was going to put a pump down there and pump water out. And you know what happened? He took that pump and dropped it down there and found out some stupid kid had dropped so many rocks down there, it filled the well up. Did I say I liked it? It was the neighbor kid that liked to do it. I wasn't me. I never told him who it was that dropped rocks down as well, but I dropped a whole bunch of them. I found some that just barely fit, and I dropped them down the pipe. Pretty soon they weren't splashing. They were just clunking. I didn't know anything about it. I can tell you, though, the enemy loves to fill your wells up. You see, whenever you first get born again, and man, God is real, God is good, and I mean, you're living on the power and the might of His Holy Spirit, as it was this morning. He brought us to the altar for ministry because He's, you know, our hearts were messed up. You have to understand that is where the enemy comes in, and he begins to fill your well up. He begins to stop the supply of water coming from God's Holy Spirit. You see, that's the glory that Miss Doris talked about, that glory that comes out of us, that river of living water. The enemy knows that living water, it's life to you and I. So every day the enemy's going to look for ways to fill your well in. He's going to look for ways, and he's going to use the neighbor kid to do it. The devil will do anything to stop the flow of God's Spirit in our lives. Anything. Third thing is, not only do we know the enemy loves to fill our wells up, but you see, if we're in that dry place, and it's just so fitting this morning of what the Spirit spoke to us earlier. If we're in that dry place, one of the things the Spirit of God compels us to do is open the wells up. Amen? Open the wells up. You have to be more determined to open the well than Satan is to fill them up. You got to be willing to do whatever it takes to get that flow of living water coming through our life. If you have a great desire for the water, you'll have a great determination to dig it. You go, Pastor, what are you talking about? Digging a well. Folks, this is what I'm talking about, digging a well. It's going after the presence and the power of God Almighty. Does that make sense? It's going after that glory that He has. It's going after who He is and what He is. It's going after His face, not just His hands that do things for us, but going after His face, just seeking Him. One of the main reasons for the lack of power and the lack of anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives is our desire is not great enough to put the effort in to go after God's best. here's what I got to say to y'all, and please don't repeat this to anybody. But if I really, really, really want something, I'm going to get it. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I really, really want it, and somebody says, nah, there's no way I can get it. I'm telling you something. I am stubborn. I am determined. I won't sleep at night. I'll do whatever it takes to go get it. Are y'all there with me? There's four of you with me. The rest of y'all don't have any idea what I'm talking about. No, it's just like that. It's human nature. I mean, if we really want something, we'll put the effort into getting it. So if we really want God's best for our lives, we're going to have a desire that overpowers any other desire in our life. I want God's best. Now remember, the devil's going to throw a lot of stuff in our well. But if you're going to get what God has for you, you're going to have to constantly be emptying that well out, sending down that bucket and retrieving that stuff out and getting it out. Fourth thing is, not only do we have to open our wells up, not only does the enemy love filling our wells, not only can we not live on last generation's wells, but whenever you begin to look at these four wells and the meanings of their names, because how many of y'all know that you can't just read through the Old Testament and just mispronounce all the names like I do? Sometimes I just skip them because they're hard to pronounce. They're not like J.D. You understand? But these names all have significance. Whenever you look in the Old Testament, all of these names have significance. And so we're going to look at the significance or the meanings of the names of these four wells. And I believe that these four names literally will serve as encouragement to you and I to keep pressing on. I want the best. I've got a whole row filled of young people down here. And I tell you, my prayer for them every week is, I want the best for them. I want the best. No matter where they come from, no matter who their parents are, no matter how short their hair is, no matter how long their hair is, no matter if they're good in school, not good in school, no matter if they bite me during youth service, I still want the best for them. Amen? I want the best for them. I want the best for every person in this room. That's the heartbeat of who I am. But one of the things we've got to understand is if we want the best, we're going to have to be willing to pay a price to dig the well as deep as it needs to be. Because the deeper the well, the more it's going to cost you. But the deeper the well, the better the water. The deeper the well, the purer the water. The deeper the well, the more abundance there is. Amen? So these four names ought to serve as an encouragement to us. Every new well has great meaning, and it also has a different level with God. So number one, they dug this first well at Essek. They called it Essek. This is the first well that must be opened in you and I's walk with God. It's a place where we contend for the enemy. This is a place where struggles happen in our lives. Early struggles in our lives. It's a place where every day seems to be a battle. Because y'all, they dug it, and these folks come and say, that's not your well, it's our well. It's not yours, it's ours. It's ours, and you just get on your striped camel and get out of here. I think it went down something like that or close to it. It's a battle. You start digging for water. You give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. You make up your mind to serve Jesus Christ, and it's going to be even harder. Whenever you start telling people that you've made up your mind to serve Jesus Christ, it's even going to get harder. Are y'all going to be there with me? I understand it because I've walked in that place. It's a place where every day seems to be a battle. All of those old habits. How many of you all, whenever you got saved, God took all of your bad habits away? Raise your hands. Nobody. I didn't have all my... I thought all of them were gone because, man, I got gloriously saved. I was so happy. Oh, man, Jesus loved me. I loved Jesus. It was good. And the very next day after I got saved, I found some of them bad habits hadn't come off. Amen? And so every day it seemed to be a battle. Living for God, it was like a task. And sometimes discouragement came because I was constantly saying, oh, you knucklehead, JD, why did you do that? Why did you give in to that temptation? Is anybody there besides me this morning? This is a place where you got to say, listen, I'm going to contend. I'm going to contend. If discouragement comes in and weighs me down, if I make bad mistakes, no matter what, I'm going to contend. You see, the good news is God doesn't leave us there at Essek. Man, praise God for that. Amen. God doesn't want us to stay there. In the midst of the battle, God moves us on, and we open a new well at Sitna. Sitna means the well of separation. Sitna is a great well. Every Christian has to open this well up in their life. It's called enmity between us and the world, a separation. Man, whenever I first came to Jesus Christ, I had definitely not come completely out of the world. Does that make sense? I still talked like the world, acted like the world, thought like the world. I mean, I'd been in the world. I was up to my eyebrow. I was up to my forehead. I was up to the short hair on my head in the world. And whenever I accepted Jesus Christ, man, one of the very first things that I had to start doing is I had to start putting some distance in between me and the world. So, well, everybody's got to open. You know, we got to come to a place where we literally hate the world. Does that make sense? And I don't mean people. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the world's philosophies, the world's ideas. I mean, folks, we got churches today that ordain homosexuals. I don't have anything against homosexuals. Y'all understand this? I love people. I love homosexuals. But you have to understand, the Church of Jesus Christ cannot condone a homosexuality. It is a sin. And you've got to begin to say, listen, you know, if we're ordaining them and we're letting them go into the church and we're saying, listen, nothing's wrong with that. God doesn't mind that lifestyle. And all the time you look through the Word of God and He really does mind that lifestyle. He loves the people, but He doesn't love the sin. Come on. One of the things the Assemblies of God has been very sticklers on over the years that I've been in the Assemblies of God is they don't just let every Tom, Dick, and Harry become an Assembly of God minister. They check you. They check you. They check you. They check your wife. Mr. Derek, you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? Mr. Derek is the newest credential holder of Assembly of God minister in Trinity Assembly of God. Just a couple months ago, he got his credentials. And praise God, it's a wonderful thing. But he learned there was a process to go through. You know what? I think that should be. I think they should be strict about it. Doesn't mean that we can't have sin in our past. Does that make sense? But it means that we've got a life now that has walked away from that sin. We need separation, and that's what the well does. We have to have that separation between us and the world, and it's hard to dig the well. It's stepping out with God away from our comfort zone. It's moving to a whole nother level, leaving things behind. There's struggles here, just as there were in Essek. But at this place, we tell the devil, we declare war on you at this well. I ain't doing it like you want me to do it anymore. One of the things the Lord's dealing with me is about my speech pattern sometimes. Because sometimes I don't speak exactly like I need to be speaking. In other words, I say things that God... I contradict God about my own life, about things. You ever say something like this? I'm just really stupid. Have you ever said something like this? You're really stupid. No, I'm just kidding. How many of y'all know that that's not the way we should be talking? We should be talking like, hey, I'm full of wisdom, man, because God said if we ask Him for wisdom, He will give us wisdom liberally. And I like that, God. So I'm full of wisdom. I'm full of the intelligence of the Holy Spirit because He indwells me, man. His brain is on the inside of me. Woo! Ha! Ha! Y'all with me? So He's helping me not to say stuff like that. And so what happens is my wife, she gets up and she watches this particular program every day. And so on Friday, I heard it Friday morning. I'm going around the house doing things and I'm hearing this program, and it was a Christian program teaching. And you know, I think it was just for me that the Lord played the same exact one on Saturday morning. So I heard it twice. The same program. And I think my wife sat there and played it on purpose. But I got to declare war on the enemy. I got to tell him, listen, I'm not going to talk any way that does not give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We got to start doing it God's way, not the devil's way. And so we have to declare war at him on this. Well, I'm moving on. You may have been you may have filled up this well before, but you will never fill this well up again. So the third well that we go is Rehoboth, the well of room. The well of room. And you go, man, I'd like to have more room. Well, the Lord has made more room for us. He's enlarged us. He will cause us to be fruitful here. And this is the well that literally you walk into this and you have this well flowing water out of this well. It is the well of maturity. It's a well to those who have made it through a whole lot of struggles. And now God has made room for them. You see, if you make room for God in your life, God will make room for you. And Rehoboth is one of these places where you get up for another day of struggle, only to find that you've grown to a place where you can walk in victory instead of defeat. And folks, that's what I want for my life. I want a whole heap load of victory. Amen? You see, God has made room for me. God has brought His hand of prosperity and blessing on me because I've matured. I know the Word of God. I know how to put the enemy in his place. I know how to walk before God in the holy way that He has designed me to walk. And so He has made room for me. I've drilled this well, and man, I'm telling you, that water comes flowing out of it, and I'm going to walk in victory more than I'm going to walk in defeat. One of the most discouraging things for young Christians is whenever they suffer a few defeats. 4, 5, or 6 in a row, many times they don't even come back to church because they say, I'm just going to walk in defeat. One of the things that's great about seasoned Christians, are y'all here with me? And you have to understand, seasoned Christians has nothing to do with time. Because you think, well, Pastor, if I've been in the kingdom as long as you had, you've been in the kingdom for 39 years, I'd be seasoned. Folks, it has nothing to do with time. You see, you can grow as fast as you want to in Jesus Christ. Amen? You can become mature in just a matter of a few months very quickly because you absorb what the Word has. You absorb what Jesus is telling you. So understand this. Instead of the enemy defeating you, you can walk in victory. Instead of the enemy moving you, you move the enemy. I like that. God has enlarged you. He's given you room. Everywhere you go becomes holy ground. And you can't go to this place, Essek, without Sitna. Many people never reach this place because they give up or they burn out in the struggles of opening the wells. Can I just make sure you all understand this? Digging these wells is not easy. Remember what I said? The deeper the well, the more it will cost you. But I tell you, this water at Rehoboth, it is good water. I mean, just quickly, with a show of hands, how many of you love to be defeated? Just how many of you like to win? All but 3 of you. And those 3 have no opinion. I like to have victory. I want victory. I want victory for my family. I want victory for my health, my wife's health, victory for this congregation. Are y'all there with me? And that's what we come into. God says, dig that well, open that well. There'll be a place for you. I'll enlarge it. So today my admonition to every one of us in this room is to keep digging. Amen? Keep digging. Don't give up. Keep digging. Keep believing God's promises for your life. Because if you press on by faith, you will arrive at Rehoboth. Sheba is the next well. The well of sevenfold blessings. And if I had a wish for your life, more than any other, it would be to drink from this well. To walk, to live under blessing. Blessed going and blessed coming. To drink from the well of Sheba. Isaac has come to this place in his life and it's a goal of every believer. He's made a lot of mistakes, and that's part of what I skipped whenever I was reading that through. You can go back and read it. It's kind of interesting. Isaac wasn't always the best person. lost a lot of battles, but he had moved on from one well to the next until he arrived at a place where God had settled him in the spirit realm. He hears the news in Rehoboth, we have room, and he hears the news in Sheba, we have hit water, and we are going to be blessed. We've hit water. Here in North Carolina, it's not a big a thing whenever you drill a well because most of them come in with water. Maybe not a whole lot of water. Maybe it's got iron in it or whatever. But man, I tell you, in New Mexico, you're not always assured of having water whenever you drill a well. And I know it's the same way here, but there's a lot more water in North Carolina than there is in New Mexico. And so growing up, one of the things I've seen many times is a drilling rig set up, and they would drill and drill and drill and drill and drill, and they would come up dry. You see, my prayer for every person in this room is, regardless of the mistakes that you've made, regardless of the battles that you've lost, don't quit digging until you hit water at Sheba. Because Sheba is where you will be blessed. I encourage you to make it your last well, because it is the best well. God has saved literally the best for last. But, see, that wasn't the end of the sentence. There's a but there. If any of you all are like me, there have been times in my life where I've given up on something. I've just give up. I just said, can't do it. One of those times was just recently whenever my son's transmission went out in his vehicle, and I tried for 3 months almost to fix that transmission. I did everything I knew. I got transmission fluid all in my hair, all over my clothes. Pulled things apart, cleaned them, put them back together. And finally there came a time, because I was trying to do it cheap. Does that make any sense? Well, wait, let me rephrase that. I was trying to do it inexpensively, not so cheap. But there finally came a time where I said, Caleb, it's dead. We're going to have to go get a new one. I just gave up. I quit. Let me encourage you. No matter what stage that you're on, no matter what well you're at, don't quit. Don't give up. Because this is what I believe: the end is going to be better than the beginning. So here are the blessings at Sheba. Let me just read through them. Verse number 24, don't fear, I am with you. That's what God says to him. The blessing of your last well is God's presence in your life continually. Verse 24, at the very end of the verse, it says, you are about to be multiplied. I'm going to give you years of increase. You won't walk in lack, but in plenty. In verses 26 through 31, it says, your enemy will be afraid of you. The devil won't have you on the run. You will have the devil on the run. In verse number 32, every time you dig, you will find water. This is the place of the saints of God. They don't live these hit and miss lives. They live lives of satisfaction. They draw near to God, and God is there. Are y'all with me? I mean, these are the promises that we have at the well of Sheba, drinking from that water. But you have to understand, if we're going to be people who walk in God's favor, we have to be people who draw the water out of these deep wells. And in order to get water out of these deep wells, you and I are going to have to do some digging. You and I are going to have to do some digging. You and I, seriously, are going to have to do some digging. Help me, Dawn, right here. Ready? You and I are going to have to do some digging. Dawn, you did not help me very good. Okay, Dawn, ready? You're going to have to do some digging. Thanks, Dalton. Man, I thought if anybody in this church that I could count on, it would be you. You almost let me down. We got to dig. You say, well, what are you talking about? Pastor, digging. Folks, can I just tell you,
we're going to have to make some sacrifices if we're going to dig a well out in our backyard that's going to produce this kind of water in our lives. We just can't live a worldly life and come up with this kind of blessings in our lives. We're going to have to be found praying. We're going to have to be found in the Word. We're going to have to be found going after God. See, I don't think that there's any kind of miracle formula that I can give you. You got to pray 2 hours a day, read your Word an hour a day. I don't think it's that. You see, I think one of the things that is absolutely imperative for us is that our minds are on the Lord, that on the kingdom all the time. Does that make sense? Instead of walking around and thinking about the things of this world and the worries of this world, if we would just get our minds on God, it would take so much, it would take us so much closer to the place that we need to be. Just placing our minds on God. I want to walk in that favor. I want to draw from that well. Because that well is a place where God reveals. And I believe that that well is something that this last generation is going to drink from. I can tell you that the United States of America have become a nation of services. Or services. I mean, just think about it. Hardly anybody ever does anything for themselves anymore. There's an app for that. There's a guy for that. Got a girl for that. I mean, think about it. You want somebody to walk your dog, you can hire someone. I mean, seriously. I'm here to walk your dog, okay? I let my dog walk herself. You need somebody to walk your dog, clean your house, somebody to mow your lawn, somebody to clean your chimney, and the list goes on. You need somebody to come in and turn the microwave on for you. You could probably find somebody. It's just a world of services. But I'm going to just make sure we all understand this. In the spiritual realm, there is no well-digging service. Your pastor ain't going to dig your well for you. Your mom's not going to dig your well. Your father's not going to dig your well. Are y'all there? You're not going to call in a few neighbors or some of the people here at this church and dig your well. This is not something that you're going to be able to hand over to somebody else. If you want all that God has for your life, you're going to have to open up these wells yourself. No matter how hard the struggles are, I will tell you that the blessing, the reward is greater than the cost. Folks, I mean, you think about it. This is God. He has created heaven and earth by opening His mouth. All things that are, they were created through His spoken word. And He gives us the opportunity to know Him. I mean, that's what this is all about. It's just knowing God. That's where the glory comes on our life. This is where we drink from the well of Rehoboth. This is where we drink from the well of Sheba. It's just knowing God. Folks, I will tell you this squarely. Many times if I treated my girlfriend like I treat God, I would have never, ever come to a place where my girlfriend became my fiance. And if I would have treated my fiance many times like I treat God, my fiance would have never become my wife. I paid attention to her. Yeah. There were times whenever I left her house at 2 o'clock in the morning and I got up at 4 to go to work. And I was happy about it. Yeah. I left her house at 2 o'clock. I was happy. If you told me to come over to your house and stay until 2, I would say 2 minutes after 8 is about all I can give you. There was nothing that she could have asked me to do that I would not have done. Morally and ethically, there would have been lines, but she had never, you know, she said, "Would you come over and pull the engine on my car?" I said, "Yes. Yes, 100 times. Yes." She said, "Come over and walk my dog." I would have. I mean, folks, I got to tell you, the whole time I was working underground shoveling potash, you know what? I was thinking about her. I mean, I was I was mindlessly shoveling muck back on the belt. And most of y'all understand what I'm doing because you've done that yourselves. But I just shovel. My whole brain was just filled with her. I'd get on the bus to go home and I'd get on that bus and the whole time people are trying to talk to me and my mind is somewhere else. My mind was focused on her. Yeah. Valentine's Day, very significant time in my family because, see, I asked her on a date. The first day her and I went on was Valentine's Day. Yes, sir. We had a church banquet down at the Stevens Motel. It was awesome. I sat across the table from her. I bet I sweat 4 gallons of sweat out of my armpits. They were behind me mopping. I was so nervous. It's like the third date I'd ever been on. And the first two, they weren't good at all. They were ugly girls. I'm just telling you, you didn't grow up in Carrizozo. Okay? You see, what we've got to do is we've got to spend time with Jesus. That's digging these wells. One after the other after the other. And there is a life of progression that He wants us to have. And every one of these steps are absolutely critical in our lives. There's got to be a time where we start putting some distance in between us and the world. That means we got to quit talking like the way we talk, doing the things that we do, because we realize that they are not pleasing to Him. No matter how hard the struggle is, and Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, no matter how hard the struggle is, the reward is greater than the cost. And I will promise you this. There's not one of those 2 o'clock in the morning things that I ever regret because I got me a good wife. Amen? I got a good one. The reward was greater than the cost.